The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Missed first hour. Lots of good stuff. Including my hockey picks. Please quit asking, guys. I told you what time I was going to do them yesterday. They're on the podcast, which should be up shortly. So, I get that not everybody can listen all the time, but all I ask for you to do is listen to the show. And
you should listen nonstop every single day.
Well, everybody should, but you know, it really gets frustrating when I tell people, hey, it's going to be this time. I do them at this time, and then I keep getting tweets and texts about hockey picks. So it's on the podcast. I'll do them one more time, but I guarantee you I'm going to get friggin' 15 more of these, which, you know, it's getting to be that you guys are more trouble than you're worth on your freeloading here. I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, Vancouver-Boston over 6. We're going to stick with that. And Edmonton-Arizona over 5.5 later tonight. And I like the Edmonton one the best. Chicago-Minnesota is kind of a game that I might mess around with over 6, but that's it. So there you go. Please don't ask anymore. Unless you want me to just quit giving them out. I'm going to find another place to put these and be done with it, I think. Okay, so no Jerome today, but we will have... we're going to have Juan Adams in studio.
We'll have Juan in, yeah. Do you see the big news?
Depends on what the big news is.
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Will be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about he got diagnosed with lung cancer.
Well, yeah. And then one day later, they say, hey, you know what? You're a hero.
I'm going to have a little bit different take on Rush than you might expect.
I'm curious your take.
I think from a media standpoint, he was a genius. He went after an audience of older white males who felt like they were being ignored, who felt like the media had a bias. And
older white males who felt like they were being ignored, well, damn it.
But that they exist, man.
Oh, I know. It's just because funny. It's funny to hear that.
Well, I know. Well, whatever you think of it, he saw that market. He went after it. And he pulled all those guys in. I don't know if he believed one word he said.
I mean, older white men have it harder than any other demographic in this country, for sure. So, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, but the reality is, you know, you can say what you want. He saw that was out there, and there was money to be made off of it. Because guess what? Older white men are also the ones with the money. And so from that perspective, yeah, was he a crap human being? Definitely.
Well, why are you talking about him like he's dead?
Well, he's going to be.
Oh.
Did he spout a bunch of hatred? Yeah. But from a pure media standpoint, the guy was a genius. And I think that, he was Stephen A. and Skip before those guys were doing it in sports. He was doing it in politics. Yeah. And so you think about all the things that have sprouted out of that. Which, you know, we call it hot take, but it's really just bull stuff, right?
I mean, Bill O'Reilly he copied off Rush. And Rush, one of the most successful radio guys ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no denying that.
But, yeah, I think, and I remember when I first heard him, and he's the first one that started, like, talking about the liberal media. That all started with him. And I found it amusing as part of the liberal media at the time, but I also thought it was brilliant. So
I like that he says there's no such thing as sexual consent, and that's just a term that the left made up. That's my favorite thing about him.
Yeah, he had a lot that was... but
And I liked when he said that the Iraq War were phony soldiers.
I don't remember that one. I quit listening after about the first 4 years he was on, because I said once I'd seen what he established, it's like, okay, this is pretty good. Good for him. He's going to make a bleep ton of money.
Yeah, he's figured out a way to make some dough, and he really he survived a house cleaning of people like that, like those the right wing radio loudmouths. That a bunch of them got in trouble all at the same, like Bill O'Reilly's gone, he's vanished.
Yeah,
you know, and Limbaugh is as controversial as he's been, he's survived it, certainly.
Remember when they had him on the football coverage?
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't go over too well.
Yeah, not good.
But yeah, it's and I would just say, anybody getting started in this business, if you can find a niche like that you can exploit, do it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not for me, but I think from the perspective of the audience he created, he preyed on, I don't want to say preyed on, he tapped into the fact that old white men felt like they were being screwed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. 15.5 million weekly listeners.
Yeah, what does he make a year? Because I remember at one point he was making $6 million a year, and that was, I'm sure it's gone way up since then.
8 year signed an 8 year $400 million deal. God. No, actual annual salary now of $84 million a year. Second highest paid radio host in the U.S. only to Howard Stern.
84 million.
Yeah, I think he just signed a 4 year deal last year, at the end of last year.
Not good for him.
Won't live to see the end of it, probably, but.
Well, whatever.
Man. You know what? For 84 million a year, yes, I would definitely do Rush's show.
Would you? I thought you would never sell out for it.
84 million, I'll sell out tomorrow. That's, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
And from what I've heard, because iHeart owns the premier network that carries his show, every time he signs a new contract, he gets a new plane. They take back the old one and give him a nice brand new private jet.
Good for him.
I don't want a private jet. I'm okay with first class. Just fly me first class everywhere.
Yeah, this dude's got it going on. In 2017, he was the 11th highest earning celebrity.
Man.
Whew.
Well, like I said, I think he really tapped into something, and it continues to grow, and I mean it's out there, and those are people with money who support you. So I will praise him for that.
Let's see the most updated list of highest earning celebrities. Yeah, he's still number 18 on the list.
Wow.
So in 2019, he was the 18th, and this counts athletes, musicians, just entertainers in general. He was the 18th highest paid. His $87 million that he made in 2019 falls right in between number 17, LeBron James, and number 19, Elton John.
Damn, and Elton John had a movie.
Yeah. That is wild. Rush made more money in 2019 than Jay-Z, Beyonce, Ellen, and Drake. And Chris Hemsworth. It's freaking Thor. I mean, yeah, the list of people above him is, it's a who's who. Well, kind of. Taylor Swift's number one. She makes more than double what Rush makes. Step your game up, Rush. Kylie Jenner, Kanye West.
Kylie Jenner? What the hell?
I don't even know how she does it. What the hell? I think she sells
owns
makeup.
A cosmetics company.
Yeah.
That's worth like $1 billion.
But that doesn't count as a celebrity.
Well, she's on a TV show also.
Yeah, well, but I wouldn't know who she was if it weren't for
her dad's Bruce Jenner.
Or Caitlyn. I'm not
Caitlyn,
sure which.
Yeah. Number three, Kanye. Number four, Lionel Messi. First athlete. Five, Ed Sheeran, Cristiano Ronaldo, Neymar, the Eagles, who are all lumped into one. The Eagles made $100 million in 2019. Number nine, Dr. Phil. $95 million.
Okay, you want to talk about the least most talented person on the planet making that kind of money?
He made more than Oprah. Where's Oprah on this
list? Isn't she semi-retired? She just does a book club now.
You'd think she still was making dough, though. She probably gets a chunk of whatever Dr. Phil makes because she kind of started him up, right?
Are they a partnership?
No, I don't think so. Not a physical partnership. Canelo, number 10. Roger Federer, 11. Howard Stern, 12. This one's weird to me. J.K. Rowling, 13. Does she even make books anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's still...
She's still selling Harry Potter books?
They're universe, but different stories.
Well, not only that, those books are still selling ridiculous amounts. She makes a bunch of money off the movies even now. I mean, she's a turd, too. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
Russell Wilson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I would have thought he'd be higher because that guy's in everything right now.
Aaron Rodgers, LeBron James, Rush Limbaugh. Damn. Good money if you can get it. I got to go talk to Mr. Gao about my salary now that I read this list.
I've always said I would never go for $5 or $6 million a year to go to ESPN and be a loudmouth and not believe anything I said. $84 million a year? Might think about that because I'd only need to work 2 years and I'd be gone.
Yeah.
So
I'd work 1 year and be gone.
Well, I'd do two. Just because, yeah, I'd spend the first year buying.
Not if you had lung cancer, you wouldn't just get out of
I'm just going to take.
I guess I do. Yeah, you think about taxes and stuff. You want to take care of your future generations.
I want to be able to buy $3,000 bottles of whiskey and stuff like that and not think twice about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry says, Rush didn't spew hate. Did he say stupid things? Yes, but don't
confuse. Who said he spewed hate?
Don't confuse with hate as you're diluting real hate out there.
I didn't say he spewed hate.
I don't recall saying that either, but maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he said plenty of dumb
stuff. He had some stuff you could easily construe as hate, though, if you want to be honest. But, you know, and listen, that has nothing to do with anybody's political opinions. And my analysis of the guy has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with how he did the media, and it worked well. So, somebody said he definitely said hate. Okay, he did have some hate speech, no question. But, you know, who doesn't?
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713. I think the couple of things you brought up kind of qualify in my book, but okay. Mont says Oprah's not retired. She owns a network. Which, is that her, what is that, the Oasis, or whatever that is?
I don't know.
OWN.
Okay. I don't
watch it.
I don't have that one. So, yeah. Bernard says, for once, Floyd Mayweather is not in the top earners category.
Well, he didn't fight in 2019.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Rush when he was talking to a black caller he couldn't understand. He told the caller, take that bone out of your nose and call me back. Is that hate speech? I don't know.
I'd go yes.
That's.
I don't know. I think you're diluting real hate, AJ.
Okay. Well, maybe so. Maybe so. You know what I don't hate? Hoops. Love it, man. ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you go. You want the best basketball goals in the world. And my favorite thing about it is it's gotten my kids out of the house. They're not playing video games. They're outside hooping it up damn near every day. My little one especially. And if my older son leaves it up at 10 feet, my little one wants to play. He's 7. He can't make baskets on a 10-foot goal. He just cranks it down all by himself. Turn of a handle. He gets it to where he can make baskets so he can have some fun. That's a great thing. And they will be out there for hours on end. They've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable goal. If you've got a pain in the ass HOA in your neighborhood, you could just roll it into the backyard when you're done if you want. They're built to last. Tempered glass backboard, so strong, they guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. Guys, get your new hoops goal today. They've got all the accessories as well. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN.
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The countdown is on to the kickoff of rugby season in Houston. The Houston Sabrecats begin their third Major League Rugby season this Saturday at the brand new Aviva Stadium. At 525, caller 5 to 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to enjoy a great day of family fun, rugby, and cold Carbach beers. Tickets start at just $20 at HoustonSabrecats.com. And that's a fun night out if you've never been. And it's every time I go to rugby, I always have somebody who knows rugby to explain it to me. And I finally think I've kind of got it. But that it's kind of a cool sport to watch in person. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, a little earlier we were talking about the Rockets in terms of what they might do trade-wise. Apparently, part of the reason for the Capella rumors is that Tillman wants to get under the luxury tax. And that would certainly do it. That's why some of these deals don't make a whole lot of sense, because there would be just as much money coming back or more even. But he wants to reduce the team's $140 million payroll to get under the luxury tax threshold. And executive told CNBC he's got a new owner now. This isn't the old days with Leslie Alexander. He's with Fertitta now, who counts every penny. It's a new world out there. And, you know, I think Fertitta will spend if he's getting results. And based on what we've seen so far, maybe not. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I have a story on John Jones here, which I guess we'll ask him about at some point when we have him on this week. There's rumor has it we're going to have John Jones. We're definitely going to have Dana White. And at some point we'll have Juan Adams going to join us here at 5:30. Hopefully AJ will rejoin us here at some point. But John Jones basically said he'd been tested 42 times this year.
He's going to be tested a lot. And yeah. That's what happens when you fail a test. You get tested more and more and more. I tend to think that John Jones is clean, but
I thought he was before.
They're going to keep working.
Well, I mean, at this stage, do you feel any sympathy for him at all getting tested that much? I mean, he's kind of earned that.
I wish everybody would be tested thoroughly in fight sports. Like that'd be ideal. And, you know, USADA came in and they supposedly are cleaning up the sport, which is great. But to me, every time John Jones is tested, his opponent should be tested too. Every time, that should be everybody on this card should be tested.
Well, seems to me if you're going to, whoever it is, not just him, but if you're going to test one guy, you should test them both.
Yeah.
But so we'll ask him about that when we have him on this week, if we get him on. Which hopefully we will. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And did you see your Pornhub traffic plummeted during the Super Bowl?
Of course it did.
And then spiked in Kansas City after the victory.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I
thought it spikes in the city where they lose.
Yeah. But, Kansas City, what else is there to do, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But I would be too busy drinking and celebrating to want to go on to Pornhub. If I were in Kansas City, I'd be watching the post game and all the interviews and being excited and not really wanting to do anything like that, because I'd be too drunk.
Yeah.
That would be the plan. I have another story for you here. Scientists in Canada are suggesting that walking while texting on your phone is dangerous. I agree with this. especially if you're walking in downtown Houston and crossing the street or walking in a parking lot, because the people who drive in parking lots, they don't care. They'll run your ass over. But it says using your phone as you walk is more likely to cause an accident than taking a call or listening to music. Texting was associated with a higher rate of near misses and a failure to look left and right when crossing the road. That doesn't surprise me at all. And I almost feel like if I'm obeying the laws of the road and you're jaywalking and looking at your phone and I hit you, I kind of think I deserve a medal.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing society a favor. But the researchers are at the University of Calgary, and they said distracted walking and street crossing will be a road safety issue for the foreseeable future. About 270,000 pedestrians die every year globally, making up about a fifth of all road traffic.
That's why I don't walk anywhere.
Well, see, I mean, I'm not sure what to think anymore because I've almost been killed as a pedestrian a couple weeks ago. I've almost been killed on a bike. I've almost been killed in a car. I kind of feel like I'm just going to get killed at some point. And that's that.
So now you die?
Yeah. I don't know if I care whether or not it's because I'm walking or on my bike or in my car. If some idiot's going to run me over and I'm going to die, I'm just going to die. It doesn't matter which one. Kenny say, are you sure it wasn't Kansas City, Kansas where the traffic spiked? Well, well played, sir.
Nice.
It's tremendous. It was the best porn hub.
Football porn.
Yeah. The Cajun Trent said, I remember when Pat McAfee was tested a bunch of times after his DWI. I listened to him talk about the program that they have in the NFL is crazy. Yeah, once you get caught with something, though, then, I mean, they kind of have the right, don't they? Especially if it's more than once.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of, the only thing I'm not a fan of is PEDs and fight sports. I know you've talked about that a lot because I think it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Somebody's going to die.
Everything else, I don't really care.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
So. And apparently, AJ's driving through stop signs and parking lots. The cop did a good thing by stopping him. He could have killed someone.
Yeah. Thank you.
There you go. Kind of explains it. Now, I get the whole phone thing, but is it wrong of me that if I see somebody whose face is buried in the phone and they're walking down a hallway and they're not looking, that I just kind of want to pretend not to see them and just bash right into them, especially if I'm significantly bigger than they are?
Yeah, that's not good.
You're saying that's wrong?
Yeah. Why do you want to bash people?
Because?
You're a bully?
No, because people aren't paying attention.
Okay.
And they could walk right into somebody else who's not paying attention.
Oh, my God. Why is Twitter posting all these pictures of the man who got arrested in the car with his balls hanging out? He's like sitting, which, by the way, gross. You're sitting on a street downtown Houston with your balls on the street.
And you know that
and your butthole on the street.
There's homeless poo all over that.
That's gross.
And pee and ejaculate.
Why is he wearing just a shirt that's too small for him to begin with, and socks, and that's it?
I must be following the wrong people because I don't see a single picture on my Twitter timeline here.
You haven't seen that one yet?
No.
Ugh.
Is he a great big fat person?
You can see full crank. It's disgusting. Well,
they don't need to show us that.
I know.
Oh, man.
And you guys were complaining about the halftime show. What about me having to scroll through Twitter and see full crank?
Well, I kind of think it's on you because I scrolled through Twitter and didn't see any of it. So that's a you problem, pal.
Oh, fine.
Oh, man. So did he have an accident or did they just catch him?
No, I think he went somewhere because he thought that they were going to stop following him. So he went somewhere to hide out and they just happened to cross him.
Well, if he had an accident, I know who could help him out.
Yeah. Lawyer Dave should maybe sit this one out, honestly.
Well, I don't know. Lawyer Dave helps everybody, right? If he can win, what's going on, man?
You bet I will. And Fred, no, You can't run people down the hallway, and no. You can't run people over that are jaywalking. No, no, and no.
You know, you're not real helpful here, pal. I'm just trying to improve society by getting rid of these people.
I realize you're trying to improve the genetic pool, and that's to your credit, but not that way.
All right. Well, I'm just going to have to be Thanos and get the glove and do it that way. So
let me tell you, Blitzes, if you do happen to have somebody hit you in while you're walking as a pedestrian, we represent people like that. We represent people that get run over with anger in the hallway. That is also against the rules. That's called battery. You can't do that to folks. We represent every kind of accident for every kind of person in the entire state of Texas. If you boys want to talk to me or you ladies want to talk to me, 713-626-8900 is my number.
Yeah, and you don't charge for the consultations, and you don't get paid a dime until they win, right?
Absolutely right. We get paid all together. If we lose, we lose, but we mostly win, and we get paid together. And here's something else. Let's say you get hurt and you don't have any insurance, and you need to see a doctor. Well, we'll hook you up with a doctor where you don't have to pay any money up front, so you get the treatment you need. And that's a pretty good deal for the Blitzes, don't you think, Fred?
I think it's a great deal. And, guys, just give him a call. Even if it's not something he handles, he'll put you with somebody who can help you. And if it's not something he'll that he thinks has got a chance, he'll be honest with you. Give him that number again. Tell him how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, hit me up at 713-626-8900. Or LawyerDave.com, or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle, or by all means, Fred would be glad to talk to you on my behalf.
Absolutely. You can always hit me up if you can't remember those, any of those. Need a lawyer? What do they do?
They better dial Dave.
She'll be out there dancing while some stranger holds her tight.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
La 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 la.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And that'd be a good time to get on the Twitch channel so you can watch longtime friend of the show, UFC heavyweight fighter Juan Adams. What's up, buddy?
Good, man. Nothing much. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Freddie, Juan is impressed. He says you're trying to grow your hair out to look like his.
That's what I'm working on. Yeah,
hey, it looks good. I mean, yours is a lot more tame than mine. As soon as I hit Houston, it just
poof. The humidity gets you.
Yeah, I cheated a little bit. So,
well, you mentioned as soon as you hit Houston. Last time we talked to you, you were a full time Houstonian.
Right.
You've made a move. Tell people what's new with you.
Since last time I've come on the show, I've moved out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I train at Jackson Wink MMA. It's a little bit different. Went from having my own apartment to living in a fighter dorm. It's a lot like college again, and it reminds me I did not miss college.
I mean, in a way, it reminds you of college, but also it's, I mean, if you're out there, if you're living in the gyms at Jackson Wink, you're pretty serious about your fighting career, so there's not a lot of drinking and drugging and things going on. There's probably not chicks running in and out at all hours of night. Most of these guys are training until they damn near pass out. Then they pass out and then they wake up and train. Right?
Yeah, exactly. There's always a few out there because gym fees are a little low.
But I forget you went to VMI, so yeah. You didn't get the normal college experience.
Yeah, I didn't get the normal probably college wasn't. Experience.
So for you, maybe it is like
yeah,
college.
It's a lot
actually.
Like college, but it's crazy there because every now and then you'll get those guys that come in that are like fans and really they don't train a whole lot. They're just there to take selfies. Say they're a Jackson Wink fighter, but they never last long. So it's great because all the serious guys, everyone knows who's serious there. There's guys that have been there for a year, year and a half, 2 years, and those are the guys that you see just busting it every day. And then, you know, the other ones, they weed themselves out pretty quickly.
I wonder if that background, going to college at a military school, if that helps you in a situation like that where other guys might struggle to deal with the regiment and the routine of the discipline of getting up early and not staying up late partying and watching Netflix. I wonder if that helps you, in that sort of a scenario, that having that background.
Yeah, it definitely does help. Because I wake up and first off, it's twin size beds and bunk beds and stuff in there. And
boy,
a lot of people aren't happy about it, but at VMI, it's a springless twin mattress. You roll it up every morning, stack it up, and lift the wooden rack that you sleep on there. So for me, it's comfortable. I'm whatever. And when I moved out there, a lot of people think you have a lot of needs. I knew my needs would be taken care of there. I've got Trifecta sending food every week. So I just threw my TV in there and a bunch of workout clothes and drove 12 hours. And it was seamless for me. It wasn't hard at all. It wasn't a hard adjustment.
I mean, are you at this point, you've made the right choice in your opinion? This is this was the answer you needed?
Definitely. I truly feel this was the right choice and it was what I needed. The biggest difference is, on Facebook, before I left here, I was having to beg people to come train with me. Anyone over 200 pounds with any type of experience, please come train. And I would have to physically exhaust myself before every training session, And for that, I could rely on my athletic ability. I could always kind of coast and beat these guys. Whereas at Jackson Wink, there's 185ers there that can knock me out if I'm not paying attention. So it's completely different. I have to be on my stuff every day, every session. And normally, there's a few bad days in camp. I've had one bad day this entire camp. So it's been life-changing, really.
The gym you were at here in Houston was a wrestling-focused gym. You're a wrestling-based guy. When you get out to Jackson Wink, I'm assuming you go out there to work on what you're not great at. Is that what you've been doing since you've been out there, working on the other parts of the game other than the wrestling?
Definitely. And it's crazy because they have a jiu-jitsu program there that's geared towards MMA. So I'm not learning sport jiu-jitsu there. I'm learning basics, and we're repping the basics nonstop, things specific to each fighter. And, I go to 3 or 4 grappling classes a week, but I'm getting at least 2 striking-centric classes a day out there. So it just picked up really quick. And over here, what was crazy is I wasn't training at just one gym. I was going,
you got to go all over the place.
Yeah, I was at 4 or 5 different facilities throughout the week. And that's mentally exhausting on top of being physically draining. So that's the biggest difference. Everything being at one place and really just always knowing I'm going to have someone there that's going to push me.
When you get there, do you work with everybody and then decide these are the coaches I want to work with? How does it work? Are you just assigned a coach? What's it like there?
They recommend coaches for you. If you're serious about it, you go there and the way I recommend it is you do 2 or 3 privates with every coach there. Figure out which ones you want. Let Greg and Mike determine a game plan for you, and then I work with the coaches that are going to aid in that game plan. For me, it was very bare bones this time because I didn't want to get overloaded, right? I didn't want to take in so much information that I'm mixing techniques up and messing all of them up. So next camp, I'll add probably 2 more coaches to it, another jiu-jitsu coach and another striking coach. And following from that, I'll probably get sessions in with everyone that trains at the gym. But for this one, I was working with 3 coaches, Mike Winklejohn, Greg Jackson, and Joey Villasenor. And a little bit, I did a couple of Brandon Gibson's classes. And then I determined, okay, there's slight variances in the styles here, and I don't want anything contradicting. So I shrunk it down to pretty much just Mike and Greg working with me.
Well, last time we talked to you, you were fighting Greg Hardy. It was a fight that you asked for and asked for and asked for, and you got it. Obviously didn't go your way.
Right.
Was it a humbling experience for you? How did you react to it after that loss? Because obviously when you hype something up in your head,
yeah,
it's obviously going to be a letdown. But how did you handle that mentally, losing that fight?
Immediately I handled it very poorly. I didn't respond well at all. It was very humbling. After that, I didn't set foot in the gym for 6 weeks, actually. You know, I checked back into therapy. I was doing a lot of, you know, I had to do a lot of reflection. And that fight ultimately is what led me to make the change to Jackson Wink. It was, you know, it just showed me that whatever I was doing wasn't working. I took it as a sign that I needed to change some things up. And, you know, I reflected on some things within myself, within my own psyche, and overcame them. And, you know, when I was ready, I spoke to my sponsors, I spoke to my manager, and, you know, I spoke to my coaches. And everyone except one person was on board with me moving to New Mexico. And so that's, you know, that's pretty telling.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since you got in the cage. The guy that you're fighting is a guy named Justin Taffa, who his resume is it's not great. He's 3-1. Two of his three wins came against guys who have never won a fight. So I always judge, if you don't have a Wikipedia page, I'm not sure I'm taking you super seriously as an MMA fighter.
Right.
So it seems to me, with you coming in off two straight losses, the UFC wants you to succeed here. They're giving you a fight that says, listen, we want to be in the Juan Adams business. This is the fight. We need you to win this kind of a fight. And I'm sure you personally know that this is the kind of fight that you've got to win if you want to be in the UFC, right?
Exactly. And that's how I view it. I view this more as approaching the same way I approached my contender series fight. You know, I've got to earn my place again. And that's how I'm approaching it. I'm obviously grateful for the fight, grateful for the opportunity to fight in my hometown. I really wasn't expecting a fight like this. Well, I was expecting to get fed to a killer.
or get cut. I mean, yeah. A lot of guys, if you lose two in a row, a lot of the times they're just like, you're done.
So I was very, very happy with that. You know, it's crazy. The input that I've allowed into my life has changed drastically. You know, luckily, when you reach a certain status on social media, you can play with your filters a little more. And I don't even, like, if I'm not following you and you tag me in something, I don't see it. So that's great.
Keeps a lot of the negativity out.
Yeah, it keeps a lot of negativity out. And I hate to fall back on that almost like that hippie mentality of like, stay positive, man. But, you know, you are your crowd. Yeah, your tribe becomes your vibe, as so many like to say. And that's what it is. I've just surrounded myself with better input all the time. And even now when there's, you know, criticism, it doesn't come from a negative place. It's not the delivery isn't negative. It's always, hey, you need to be doing this. I think Mike Winklejohn is probably like the harshest of my coaches, and even his delivery, I don't have an issue with at all because I'm used to much worse. You grow up playing football in Texas, you pretty much heard it all.
And then you go to military school. Yeah. I mean, you hear it all. Tell me what you do know about this opponent. One fight in the UFC didn't last really long. Yeah. What do you think he's good at? What do you think you can exploit?
I think I can definitely exploit on his lack of cage time. You know, he hasn't gone to the second round often. I think I can exploit that. I know his strengths. He's got power in either hand, you know. Even for a heavyweight, he's got power in either hand. He's got a lot of knockouts. I know his brother is a very accomplished striker as well in Glory. I know he's been training out at Tiger Muay Thai. So his stand-up's going to be decent. What I can exploit is the reach advantage. I've got a 7-inch reach advantage. I'm a lot taller than he is. I believe I'm a different caliber athlete than he is as well, and I know I can out-wrestle him. I know he likes to clinch a lot off of his strikes. He likes to brush in, blitz a little bit, and try and clinch you. If he tries that, I'm going to take him down. You know, and I'm very comfortable saying that because I don't think he can stop it.
Do you feel like when the Greg Hardy fight, did you feel like afterwards – after you had some time to take the initial pain off of it, do you feel like you went in with the right game plan, or do you feel like that was just a poor game plan?
I think it was the right game plan. I think me being me, I rushed it. I'm so used to dominating people, and I wanted to get back into a dominant style fight. You know, I wanted that to be a fight where people were on the lookout for me again. And so I heard him with that jab early, and that was the plan, you know, stick a jab on him, work his cardio, you know, take him down the second or third round because you know he has cardio issues. Me, I saw the jab. I guess I thought it hurt him more than it did. And the next time I was like, okay, I'm just going to shoot in off of the jab. And I think I missed the jab completely and still shot. So it was my own error in that point. It wasn't a
so it was execution more than game.
Yeah, plan. it was failed execution. But at that point, you know, you're getting pressure from everyone that cares about me saying, hey, you need a better camp. You know, my manager has been pressuring me to move to Jackson Wink since I went pro. So it was time to make the move.
And you feel the growth as a fighter just in one camp? You feel yourself getting better?
Definitely. If from nothing else, from a physical standpoint, my cardio is improved a lot because it's at elevation, you know? And, you know, like I said, going from there to coming down here, it feels like I'm breathing in nutrition pretty much.
How did you feel the first week there? Because I actually went and trained for a week when I was fighting. I got to go up there and train for a week. And, I mean, it felt like, you know, 5-minute rounds felt like 30-minute rounds. I mean, it was just, it felt like someone was standing on my chest the whole time.
Exactly. You know, it was funny, my first 2 weeks out there. Because when I've trained up in Colorado, it's typically been like either at the end of one of my camps or right after a fight. So I was still in great shape. And I could still, like, hang there. I could feel it, but not as bad. This time when I went up there, man, it was 30-minute rounds of Wink. I had 30-minute privates with Wink, 3 or 4 of those a week. And for the first 2 weeks there, every 2 or 3 minutes, I'm having to sit down between rounds or, like, cut it off at 3 minutes, be like, hey, man, I got to breathe a little bit. This is rough. But by the end of it, you know, I'm walking between breaks. You know, Coach Wink's telling me when to stop, walking out and getting my breath ready to go again.
Obviously, well, I'll ask you this first. Did you expect to be on the main card? Was that a surprise to you to get bumped up to the main card?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was an error because there's times like that. They announce the fights, and by the time it gets to fight night, you know, once everything is settled, you're in a completely different spot. I was watching UFC 246, actually. I bought it. And what I do is, like, I take my TV into the main room of the dorms, and I buy the fights, and I let everybody come in and watch them.
And, you let them freeload?
Pretty much. I mean, not a lot of these guys aren't making a whole lot of money right now. So we're chilling in there, and I'm sitting there just watching the fights, and they pull up the graphic for UFC 247, and one of the amateurs there is, like, filming me. He's like, oh, bro, you're on the main card. And I just looked up. And my phone is exploding at this point. And I just tweeted, oh, that's one way to find out you're on the main card.
Yeah.
And, so I'm shocked. I really am surprised. But, you know, I'm going to take the opportunity for everything that I can and just be grateful for it.
Can I just say, man, mentally, you seem to be in a really good place.
Yeah.
From the last time we talked going into this.
Oh, yeah. I feel a lot better this time. You know, I check back in with my therapist. I always do it every couple months just because. But after those 6 weeks where I didn't set foot in the gym, I was in there quite a bit.
On the main card means you're obviously in camp at the same camp as the guy who's headlining, John Jones.
Right.
I imagine a guy like John, he probably doesn't do a lot of group work. He's probably got, you know, one-on-one time almost exclusively. Do you work with John at all? Is there any training together?
Yeah, there is. It's funny how you get brought into a John Jones camp because it's not one of those things where, oh, yeah, you're at the gym. Let's just throw you in there. The coaches evaluate you and see if you're a spaz before everything else.
Right.
And then after that, John, they'll tell you to do a warm-up round with John. And if you go crazy in that warm-up round, you're out automatically. So John has to evaluate, one, if you're the type of guy that's going to hurt him at practice. Not because you're better or anything, but anyone that's gone somewhere knows when you go with a new person, it's supposed to be real flow, real gentle. You know, you barely 50% in
right.
that. If you can control it there, you slowly start to amp it up. So I did 2 or 3 of those rounds with John, and then we started doing ab stuff together after classes, and he invited me to a couple of his workouts just to see how he works and everything. And we rolled a couple times, and moving forward, we're both going to work together a lot more.
With what you've experienced from him, what separates John? What makes him the best fighter in the world? What is it about him?
It's one of those things that I feel like he's uniquely gifted at. Everyone has a
he's just talent. Blessed,
right? He's very blessed, but even still, the way he puts things together, the way he sees things, the way he sees combos and the angles from which he can throw things, it's really amazing to watch. A lot of people cannot do what John Jones does. I've seen him throw some kicks from angles that I didn't think it was possible to throw those kicks from. And then I tried doing it and I fell down. I consider myself a pretty high level athlete and it just wasn't happening for me. So that's cool. And what also separates him is he invests in every aspect of fighting, and anything he takes an interest in, he invests in all those different aspects of it. So he takes very good care of his body. Unlike, you know how LeBron James
invests? Yeah. Over $1 million a year.
Yeah, it's about the MMA equivalent of that. He's always taking care of his body so he does not get injured. Anytime there's a slight, something's a little bit off, he knows it, he can tell it, and they work on it, and it's fixed for next time.
I think, and people ask me when John ran into all his troubles, and he had plenty of them, people were asking if I thought he'd be the same fighter after that. And I believe that he'll end up being better. I think that he's, after something like that happens, and he was lucky that his didn't happen in the cage.
Right.
A guy like George St. Pierre, who was the best fighter in the world. He got into the partying. He started to drift off a little bit from training nonstop, and he got knocked out by a guy who had no business beating him in Matt Serra, and that actually happened here in Houston. Yeah. And he was like, "What the hell am I doing?" And it completely refocused him, and then he just went on a tear where he didn't lose again forever. I think John is lucky that it didn't take him losing a fight. Now, obviously, some of the stuff that he got involved with is maybe even worse than losing a fight. But at least for his long-term career legacy, he's not going to have that loss on his record. Well, he's already got one loss on his record he shouldn't have, but he's not going to have that loss where he didn't take a fight seriously enough and it cost him. Right. So I think that wake-up call for him is going to make him just better, because I do think he's one of those guys who's just better than everybody.
Yeah. It's crazy. We were going, and he shot in on me one time. And I gave him a little, half sprawl, because I'm a lot bigger than John. I didn't want to hurt him. But he said that he was shocked at how strong I was, but he grabbed a hold of my leg, and I'm like, guy that size shouldn't be that strong. It's pretty crazy. But he's a very uniquely blessed athlete, and talking with him and hanging out with him, getting to see more of the real John Jones, showed me a lot. And I think that if he showed more of that, he has to be a little bit cautious with what he shows people now. But if more of his, even when he's being goofy, if he showed more of that, I think people would like him even more. But already as a fighter, there's no question.
How many UFC heavyweights are out at Jackson? Arlovsky's still out there? Or is he gone?
Arlovsky's gone. It's just myself and Dontel Mays right now. We've got a Bellator heavyweight and Davion Franklin. And then Joel Bauman, who's fought at 185, but he walks around at about 205. He was a D1 wrestler in Minnesota and a FILA national champ, world team member. He was a world team member for a while for wrestling. Dude's a monster. Going with him, Christian Edwards, who's a really good Bellator up-and-coming 205-er, and John, of course. There's just so much talent in that room.
Is Anthony Hamilton still there? I know he's not in the UFC anymore, but I know that's where he used to train at Jackson Wink.
Yeah, I don't even know if he still fights, honestly. Okay. I haven't seen him there.
Well, there you go. That answers that. Well, I'm excited for you to get another shot. I tell everybody, don't lose two fights in a row unless you've really established yourself, which you hadn't. I'm glad that you're getting another shot. To me, you're still a Houston fighter, whether you're training here or there. I think I told you before, I tell all these guys who make it to the UFC in Houston, you got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I think while Houston's a great place to start your fight career, there's a lot of good gyms here to start a fight career. It's very difficult to, once you make it to the top, to stay there unless you have elite coaching and elite training partners all the time. and especially for heavyweights. I mean, it's almost impossible. I think I know Alex Morano going to Fortis. He said it's been life changing for him. Like right. At some point, you have to not be the best guy in the room, or you'll right. never get better. And so I think it's a scary thing to do to get out of your comfort zone, but I think it's awesome that you did it. Yeah. I'm glad you get another shot, and I'm glad it's here in Houston, man. So everybody's looking forward to seeing it, and best of luck to you on Saturday night, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree completely. I wanted to do my whole career here, but it just wasn't working out for me, and I had to recognize it. You know, you don't get a chance like this too often, so I have to capitalize on it.
All right, that's UFC heavyweight Juan Adams. Check him out on pay-per-view this weekend. Appreciate the time, man.
No problem, brother.
All right.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Choose a side, sweet, whoever
pointed. We live and die. You're listening to The Blitz. The Blitz. The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.